hearing, KS Energy Services versus Solis.
May it please the Court, good morning, Your Honors. Michelle Jacobs for KS Energy Services. This Court should vacate the citation and remand the case with orders to dismiss because OSHA has failed to present substantial evidence to support the decision to downgrade the soil type from type A to type B based on the factors of water, vibration, and previous disturbance in the soil. OSHA's interpretation of the layered soil provision, which the ALJ adopted in deference to the agency, is entirely unreasonable as it leads to absurd results, really, and ultimately does not promote employee safety here. Even if this Court were to find that OSHA's interpretation is somehow reasonable, KS Energy Services did not have fair notice that that was the interpretation that was coming, as it was first announced in the middle of trial and is not an interpretation that is plain or obvious or could possibly have been anticipated. And finally, the application of either the layered soil provision or the type B soil provision is unconstitutionally vague as applied. This case is really an unfortunate, I would say, but compelling example of an agency, OSHA here, allowing what seems to be a desire to win a case to trump its core mission, which is employee safety. That desire has tainted a lot of the case, and ultimately, I would submit, led to a decision by the ALJ that is just not supported, both factually or legally. Now, a lot of these arguments obviously hinge on what soil type we're talking about, so I'm going to start there. As I said, the ALJ's decision here is just not supported legally or factually. What he did was essentially take the factors of vibration, water, and previous disturbance. And so based on those three things, in some combination, I suppose, that the soil should be downgraded from what was type A, or the strongest soil, to type B. Briefly, let's talk about those. Water. I'll start with that one. OSHA uses, really, and the ALJ did too, the presence of water in this trench as a basis to downgrade. First of all, legally, that's just not accurate because the regulations require that the water either be freely seeping from the soil or that the trench be submerged. There is no evidence of that.
Yeah, now, it seems to me that was a pretty much of a reach on the part of OSHA and the ALJ alike. The strongest basis for downgrading the soil, as far as I can tell from this record, is the subject to vibration criteria.
Okay.
Which, you know, you and I know this area very well, and very heavily trafficked area, and apparently much construction going on above ground. So I'm having difficulty discounting that and finding a lack of substantial evidence to support that finding.
Okay. Well, first, I think you have to start with the standard. And the standard does say that the vibration is, the soil, excuse me, is subject to vibration either from heavy traffic, pile driving, or similar effects. So it can't be that the mere fact that the excavation is along a city street, and it is University Avenue, and University Avenue, I'm similarly familiar, spent a lot of years there. It is a busy street. It's several lanes wide with a bike lane on the other side, and actually the excavation, I think, is in or near that bike lane.
I think the bike lane is not the problem here.
Right. Oh, yeah. No. I don't. But it is a wide city street. Now, but again, it can't just be any traffic, right? It has to be heavy traffic. So I think you have to look at the evidence now, and we have to talk about what actually would indicate the trench actually being subject to vibration. The OSHA witnesses have established that two lanes of traffic were cut off or were not running because or blocked off because of the excavation. Kim Morton testified she made no conscious effort to determine whether or not there was any vibration. She didn't look for any soil falling, didn't see any soil falling, no cracks in the soil, anything like that. As I said, there's two lanes of traffic cut off. Charter Street, which is the street that runs perpendicular, right where this is, where the excavation is going on, is closed south of the excavation. So that area of the excavation nearest to the cross street, that cross street is closed. There's not traffic going through there at all. It's only passing east and west. The OSHA witness, Nick Kirkenbush, testified this was not congested traffic. It was steady. It was June. It was not, the, you know, school is out by that time. So it's not university traffic, the typical university traffic that you might see. There, the other factor that the court relied on, along with just the fact that there's traffic there, is that there was heavy equipment in the area. And, of course, the only way to dig these trenches is with heavy equipment. So you have to look to see whether the evidence is that the heavy equipment is operating at a time when either close, near to the edge, when employees are in the trench. And there's not evidence of that. There are backhoes in the area, there's no doubt, but both Kim Morton and Nick Kirkenbush testified they did not see equipment like that operating when employees were in the trench. And again, it has to be there. The trenches have to be dug. So the other thing that I would hope that the court does is look to the secretary's brief. You know, what evidence are they relying on? What kind of standard in terms of heavy traffic versus city traffic? You know, what are we looking for? And they've cited three cases in their brief, Bow Brothers, AP Ohoro, and J.E. Amarellos. Those cases are so far from what we're dealing with here, so far from what we're dealing with. For example, in Bow Brothers, there was evidence. There were bulldozers, backhoes, dump trucks operating right up to the very edge of the trench. There was evidence that soil was sloughing off the sides of the trench. The trench was dug at very steep angles. I think it was 78 to 90 degrees as the overall angles of the trench. There were backfilled areas immediately adjacent to the trench. Those are the kinds of things it would not be hard to imagine why the ALJ, especially with the soil sloughing off the side, that you actually see some evidence of vibration, or the fact that the machinery is up against the edge of the trench, but that's not what you have here.
Well, I don't believe the standard is requiring that. The standard is subject to vibration,
right?
Not that it's actually occurring, and those conditions may be sufficient to meet the standard, but not necessary.
They may be, right, but in terms of trying to determine, you know, what kind of evidence will meet the, again, you said traffic. The standard does not say any traffic or traffic within so many feet. It says heavy traffic. And the way that the courts have looked at it is to also not just look at, is there traffic in the area? How far away is the traffic running, for example, from the excavation? Now, they had closed two lanes of traffic, and there was sort of a work area adjacent to where the trench went down and was dug.
So this is two lanes of traffic and then some away from the trench?
I think it was a total of, if I recall correctly,
how many feet?
I want to say 18 feet. I got to make sure that that's right. But I want to say that it was 18 feet. The cases that they were talking about, again, I know that the cases don't require it, but in terms of looking at similar cases where vibration has been found to be inferable from the evidence, the case that the secretary cited, AP Ohoro, the center of the trench to the traffic was 9 feet, and it was heavy state highway truck traffic that they were talking about. Again, remember that the evidence here, I mean, the OSHA witnesses themselves say, yes, this is city traffic, but it was not congested traffic. There's a stoplight there. So, you know, you're not dealing with heavy trucks coming through there at higher speeds. I mean, this is a city street. And so I would submit that the one witness who actually looked for the, I mean, remember that the OSHA witnesses said, Kim Morton said she made no effort to detect or try to test or look for vibration. Nick Kirkenbush said traffic was steady, not congested, didn't feel vibration. Actually, his testimony was he wasn't paying attention for vibration. Harry Butler, the next day, did look for evidence of these things and didn't find them. I mean, he looked not just at the vibration, but he looked for water, evidence of the water seeping into the soil, the previous disturbances in the soil, and did not find that evidence.
The previous disturbances were the utility lines?
That's right.
And that's how far away?
Well, it's about 8 to 10 feet from where the employees were working.
And so there was some inferential reasoning going on that in order to lay those lines, the soil, the trench was dug in had been previously disturbed?
Right. At some point, those lines have to be laid.
Right.
And so the inference was because at some point those lines were laid, that there would be some disturbance around those lines. Now, there was a lot of discussion how far. Harry Butler testified, given the size of the lines, given where they were located, they were not deep into the excavation, that the likelihood would be only a couple of feet on either side in order to lay those smaller lines. And again, because they're not in a deep excavation, the deeper they go, the wider these excavations get in order to make them safe. But when they're up in the soil higher, he testified, a couple of feet on either side. And remember, there's no previous disturbance underneath those lines, because they dig the trench and they lay them into the floor of the
shallowly
trench.
Shallowly buried utility lines.
Right. Right.
Do we know how deep?
The evidence was there's a water pipe and another line, and you can see them in some of the photos. Harry Butler testified that they were in the bench, in that first bench. So if you look at the different diagrams, they are not well down into the A soil, is essentially what the evidence sorted out as. They're not sitting at the bottom. They're not sitting way down into the trench. And so the evidence, again, and that's really, there's a lot of, I think, leaps in logic that went into this and sort of, well, if there was a little bit of water, there may be previous disturbance. I mean, the judge did not do any analysis that you're doing here. You know, how far, how deep are they, how far was it? I mean, if we had that kind of a record, it would be a lot easier, I think, for this court to say, oh, Ms. Jacobs, it's a factual finding and it's not, it's going to hold. There is none of that analysis. What he did was sort of a bullet point. There was some water. There are these utility lines. There, he said, operating backhoes and equipment and heavy traffic. The evidence just isn't there to establish that those things were operating when the employees were in the excavation. And sort of ticked off those possibilities and in some, I think, said, I'm going to downgrade. That's not what the regulation requires. It's not what the legal standards are in the regulation. And so I would submit that there is not substantial evidence to support that finding. I would submit that the record shows that the soil was layered with the B soil on the top and A soil on the bottom. And given that, you then have to look at, was OSHA's interpretation of the layered soil provision reasonable? Now, what they did is they interpreted that provision to mean that employers cannot, what is called bench, which is basically cut those sort of rough stair steps in the excavation. They interpret that provision to mean you can only cut what's called a simple slope. And I would submit that it really leads, that interpretation leads to pretty absurd results. For example, Chad Greenwood testified and acknowledged there are endless combinations, not just the six that they show in the regulation. There are many more combinations of layered soils that an employer may find in an excavation.
That we've got a threshold question of the degree of deference that's owed here if we get to this issue, right?
Whether it's
full-on Seminole Rock deference or whether that doesn't exist anymore and we've got need Skidmore deference going on here, which is just for what it's worth, basically.
Right, and I think that there is much less deference because the Secretary certainly has not pointed out that this interpretation was ever announced prior to trial, and I can tell you that Chad Greenwood's deposition testimony was taken, and that's explained in the record, was taken shortly before trial, and this interpretation was not announced in the case. Even in that deposition. The first that we heard of this and the first that it was announced, it was during his testimony at trial.
What do we have that suggests that these diagrams in the appendix, which is what we're talking about here, are meant to be exclusive?
Well, I would submit that they are, that there is not, certainly in the layered soil provision, there is nothing to indicate that they are exclusive. There's nothing that says that. And in fact, if you look at, let me back up just a little bit. In the notice of proposed rulemaking, before these were enacted or put into place, when we've cited them in the brief, the diagrams that were in the notice of proposed rulemaking were not even these. There was one diagram for the layered soil provision. And it basically was showing employers and was noticing the world, here's what we're going to do. We want to make sure that if the stronger soil sits beneath the weaker soil, that employers can individually classify those layers and deal with the layers separately. That's basically what the notice of proposed rulemaking was.
Have the rules changed since that testimony was given?
No. No, I mean, OSHA has not done anything to change these diagrams since that testimony was given. And so what we're stuck with is testimony that these six diagrams are it. If you're in layered soil, you have to...
Right, and that's a litigation position on the part of the agency. That's not the kind of administrative ruling that is entitled to a whole lot of deference, it seems to me. But I mean, they're taking the position that these are exclusive.
They are taking right.
Rather than illustrative of safe trenching, right?
That's right.
And give that anything more than for what it's worth in this context kind of deference would contradict Mead-Skidmore.
Right. Right. But here, and obviously because of the interpretation that was announced, we were not allowed to bench, and we were found in violation. Only because of that interpretation that we have these six diagrams and only the six. But as I say, you know, in whether it's the unreasonableness of the interpretation and the deference that you give it, or even just the fair notice that we have.
Right, but the statutory issue is always easier than a constitutional claim.
Yes, absolutely. And here, I mean, there is no indication in here that these are exclusive. And in fact, when you look at the language, one thing that you should note in the other soil type provisions. Okay, so when you look at the A soil provisions or the B soil provisions, and you look at what they call simple slopes, they're telling us we can only do this using a simple slope. Well, the first couple diagrams in the A soil, they show what is called a simple slope. They call it a simple slope, and they say simple slope excavations can be, you know, use whatever the angle is. You go to the type B soil provisions. When they show the ramp, they call it all simple slope excavations. When you go to type C and they show the ramp, they say all simple slope excavations. Then when you go to layered soil and they show these ramps, they say all excavations. They don't call it a simple slope anymore, because simple slope is a term of art. It is, we are showing you this ramp concept. But in the layered soil provision, the only thing I would submit that they were showing, and if you look at the proposed rulemaking, it's real clear. The point they're getting across is that when you have stronger soil under weaker soil, you can use the individual rise over run that is found in the table.
You're under your rebuttal time.
I am, and I'm going to, can I finish in 30 seconds? But if you look at the last three, where you have weaker soil beneath stronger soil, then it shows you have to use the weaker soil rise over run. That's all that OSHA was getting at there. Thank you.
Smith.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the Court. I'm Louise Betts. I represent the Secretary of Labor. Your Honors, this is a fairly straightforward case.
When Nothing about OSHA regulations is straightforward. Maybe
straightforward
you want to start
in the
over.
Sense that everyone who looked at the trench at KS Energy who designed it determined that the soil was type B. They determined that the soil was type B. They looked at the regulations. They understood the regulations. And they understood that they were required to bench or slope the trench at a 1-to-1 ratio. Accordingly, the ALJ correctly concluded that the trench was type B soil, based on substantial evidence in the record. Overwhelming evidence in the record establishes that the trench was not in compliance with OSHA's requirements for protective systems in type B soil. The judge based his decision that the soil was subject to downgrade on three independent grounds which have been discussed today. First, the soil was subject to vibration from nearby traffic. Second, the trench was comprised of previously disturbed soil because of pre-existing utility lines. And third, water was accumulating in the base of the trench. With regard to vibrations, Appendix A specifically provides that soil cannot be classified as type A if it is, quote, subject to vibration from heavy traffic, pile driving, or similar effects, close quote. Further on in Appendix A, when describing how a person is to go about determining the classification of the soil, Appendix A provides that the person should, quote, observe the area adjacent to the excavation and the area within the excavation for sources of vibration that may affect the stability of the excavation face. At no point in Appendix A or anywhere in the standard does the soil actually need to be vibrating before the soil is subject to downgrade to type B or type C. On the contrary, as the Commission explained in the Bow Brothers case and other cases, the standard does not require seismic measurements, and it does not require OSHA inspectors to endanger themselves by getting inside an unprotected trench and feeling if the trench is actually vibrating at the time. Rather, the standard, quote, requires plainly that precautions be taken where external sources cause the possibility of vibrations in the trench, close quote. Here, it's undisputed in the record that there was traffic on University Avenue. The ALJ found that traffic was, in fact, 12 feet, not 18 feet, from the edge of the trench. That was testified to by Kosho Morton and found by the judge. KS Energy's own safety director, Josh Retzleff, testified that University Avenue was a major throughway, and Your Honor is also, and counsel have spoken about that this morning. There's no question that there were buses and trucks traveling on that road. It was 12 feet from the edge of the trench. In addition, there was a backhoe that was stationed next to the trench during the inspection, but Josh Retzleff, again, KS Energy's safety director, testified at trial.
Is that part of the record that there were buses and trucks traveling on that road? Is that just because counsel knows the road?
Chad Greenwood testified that there were buses.
That's all I care. It's in the record.
Yes, Your Honor, that buses and trucks traveled University Avenue and that those kinds of vehicles would at some point subject the trench to vibration. In addition, Josh Retzleff testified that the backhoe did, in fact, operate while the trench was open. Although KS Energy maintains that it was only used to dig the trench, we have trial testimony by Josh Retzleff that the backhoe was also used to lay the pipe inside the trench after the trench was dug. There's no dispute, therefore, that there was heavy traffic 12 feet from the trench, and there was a backhoe operating next to the trench. Given that the language of the standard only requires the presence of these sources of vibrations and not that the trench actually be vibrating at the time that someone's inspecting it, substantial evidence in the record supports the ALJ's determination that the soil in the trench could not properly be classified as type A. In addition, the ALJ correctly concluded, based on
substantial
evidence.
It's pretty hard for the petitioner to overcome that OSHA inspector finding, then, wouldn't it?
With regard to the heavy traffic? Yes, Your Honor. There's no dispute that University Avenue was there, that there was traffic running, that it was 12 feet from the trench, and that the backhoe was right there. And according to the standard, those sources of vibration were sufficient. In addition, the judge correctly concluded that the trench was comprised of previously disturbed soil. At multiple locations in the trench, utilities were crossing the trench in areas where employees were working. The ALJ specifically found that the water line crossed the trench a mere 7 feet from the end of KS Energy's line. There were employees working at the end of KS Energy's line. There were, in fact, employee footprints up to halfway between the end of KS Energy's pipeline and the water line. The ALJ did cite to conflicting testimony in the record, concluding that none of the witnesses had any direct knowledge of exactly how much soil was disturbed. Some trenches may be dug narrow. Other trenches, like this one, may be dug quite wide so that employees can get inside and do the work that needs to be done. It depends in part on the size of the pipe and the work that the employees need to be doing on the pipe, whether they're welding, you know, just the type of work that needs to be done. The ALJ cited to the conflicting testimony, including Mr. Butler's testimony, and concluded that none of these witnesses could determine exactly how much had been disturbed. And, in fact, the standard doesn't require any specific proportion of a trench to be composed of previously disturbed soil. Given the undisputed presence of the utilities near where employees were working, and given the unknowable quantity of previously disturbed soil around those utilities, the evidence in the record supported the judge's determination that the trench couldn't be classified as comprised of type A soil because substantial portions near where employees were working were previously disturbed. In addition, the ALJ concluded that the trench couldn't be classified as type A soil because it contained accumulating water. On the first day of the inspection, water was accumulating in footprints in the bottom of the trench, and this is in the same area between the end of KS Energy's pipe and the water line, that 7-foot area where employees were working. Those footprints were filled with water on the first day. That's not disputed in the record. One employee told Kim Morton, OSHA's inspector, that the source of the water was groundwater. KS Energy's safety director, Josh Retzleff, testified that KS Energy never determined the precise source of the water. On the second day of the inspection, substantially increased amount of water was found in the same area of the trench, concluding that the water was accumulating in the base of the trench. Again, it's undisputed that there was increasing puddling water on the second day of the inspection, that KS Energy had to lay plywood over the water so that employees could work in the trench. OSHA witnesses also testified, and indeed Safety Director Retzleff also testified, that accumulating water in the bases of the trench is grounds for downgrading the soil classification because water at the base of the trench can significantly weaken the trench walls and increase the likelihood of a cave-in. Given the presence of water from an unknown location and the testimony about the dangers of accumulating water to the strength of the trench walls, substantial evidence in the record supported the ALJ's determination that water was accumulating.
Is that the legal standard, however? I thought it had to do with freely seeping water, which this factual record does not seem to substantiate.
Your Honor, the standard requires that the soil be freely seeping or submerged. It's the Secretary's position that the portions of the trench in the footprints were submerged in water on the first day of the inspection and that a substantially increased portion of the trench was submerged in water on the second day.
Because there was water in footprints, that constitutes submerged?
That portion of the trench beneath the footprint was submerged. And on the second day, a large puddle in the bottom of the trench was submerged.
That's an interesting definition of submerged, it seems to me. It consists of water in a footprint. This part of the ALJ's ruling and the agency's position is very hard to defend.
I understand.
There's a lot other, you know, evidence here, but this part is a bit of a reach, as I suggested earlier.
I heard Your Honor express that concern earlier. That is the Secretary's position, that water accumulating in the footprint from an unknown source that at least one witness believed was groundwater, that constitutes a submerged condition in the trench that was greatly enlarged on the second day. And to be clear, the Secretary only needs to establish one ground for downgrading the soil to prevail in this case. Substantial evidence supports the ALJ's determination that all three grounds were present, that this trench was subject to vibration, that substantial portions of the trench were comprised of previously disturbed soil, and the portions of the trench were submerged in water.
If the soil downgrade is upheld, we don't have to get to the separate issue about the interpretation of these diagrams that are in the appendix to the regulation.
That's correct, Your Honor.
But assuming we do, did I, in my questions earlier, correctly characterize the Secretary's position on the interpretation of
On the question of deference?
Right. Well, there's the threshold question of what level of deference is owed. So maybe you want to talk about that first, but then I may be misunderstanding the Secretary's position, but I understand it to be that these diagrams are the exclusive means of trenching in layered soil. The 1.4, B1.4 diagram, and that no others are acceptable?
Your Honor, yes and no. There is a clarifying question to your clarifying answer to your first question.
Okay.
I'd like to speak to deference first,
sure.
And then I'll get there.
That's fine.
With respect to deference, the case here is Martin versus Osherick. This is a case specifically referring to the Secretary's authority to interpret her own regulations, given the unique division of authority between the Secretary of Labor and the Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission. The Supreme Court held that the agency's construction of its own regulations is entitled to substantial deference as long as it's reasonable and substantially conforms to the purpose and wording of the regulations. At a later point in the opinion, on page 175, I'll quote from the opinion here, the Secretary's interpretation of OSH Act regulations in an administrative adjudication is agency action, not a post-rationalization of it. Moreover, when embodied in a citation, the Secretary's interpretation assumes a form expressly provided by Congress. Under these circumstances, the Secretary's litigating position before the Commission is as much an exercise of delegated lawmaking authority as the Secretary's promulgation of a workplace health and safety standard. Accordingly, the Secretary's litigating position before the Commission is entitled to substantial deference under Martin versus Osherick. To answer Your Honor's question about layered soil, paragraph 4 of Appendix A specifically addresses the treatment of the classification, I should say, of layered soil. The first sentence of Appendix A provides, paragraph 4 of Appendix A provides, in a layered system, the system shall be classified in accordance with its weakest layer. According to that first sentence, an employer can take a conservative approach, classify the entire trench as its weakest layer. In this case, if we're assuming that the top portion of the trench was type B and the bottom portion was type A, the conservative employer could classify the entire trench as type B. Once the entire trench is classified as type B, the employer then turns to the diagrams for type B soil and accordingly may bench. The second sentence of paragraph 4 in Appendix A provides that each layer may be classified individually where a more stable layer lies under a less stable layer. For employers who choose to individually classify the layers, the permissible configurations are provided in Appendix B at diagram B1.4. So that's the yes part of the answer to your question, that if the employer chooses to take the less conservative approach and individually classify the layers, the employer is limited to the diagrams in B1.4. The diagrams in Appendix B were meant to provide a fairly straightforward way to comply with the standard for employers who didn't have tabulated data as an option and who didn't have the means or resources to hire a registered professional engineer. Section 652B provides four options for employers to comply with the requirements for protective systems. Under option one, they can do a 1.5-to-1 simple slope, just the most straightforward, simple, and most conservative approach. Under option two, the employer can turn to appendices A and B and can use the specific configurations in Appendix B. Under option three, the employer can use tabulated data, that's data generated by a professional engineer. And under option four, the employer can actually hire a registered professional engineer to design the trench. For employers who choose option B, OSHA set forth a number of fairly conservative, straightforward diagrams in Appendix B that employers can use. Employers are in no way required to use Appendix B. They have three other options, which actually gets to the most logical reading of the so-called residual clause of Figure 1.4, B1.4. For employers who wish to individually classify their layers, they can use the specific diagrams in B1.4. For all other sloped excavations, which is the language in the residual clause, they shall be in accordance with the other options permitted in Section 652B. Those other options are options 1, 3, and 4.
And those are either use the classification of the least stable soil?
No, Your Honor, I'm sorry.
Those are the earlier diagram options?
Yes, Your Honor. 652B provides employers – I agree that this part of it's a little complicated. 652B,
I had a light bulb moment a minute ago, but now it's
eluding
me. I'm sorry.
652B provides an employer with four options. The employer here chose option two. Option two allows directs the employer to look to appendixes A and B, use A to classify the soil, and B to configure the soil. The other options in 652B, options 1, 3, and 4, aren't an issue here.
Okay. Those have to do with hiring an engineer, et cetera. Okay, I got it.
Correct. So if an employer chooses to go with option 2, the employer uses Appendix A to classify the soil, and that's what paragraph 4 provides. That the employer can either classify it all as the weakest layer, or it can individually classify the layers if the weaker is over the stronger. But Appendix B specifically provides, in paragraph 4 of Appendix B, configurations of sloping and benching systems shall be in accordance with Figure B1. And this language in Appendix A and Appendix B that forms the basis for the Secretary's interpretation that Appendix B, that employers choosing option 2 who choose to configure according to Appendix B are limited to the diagrams depicted in Appendix B.
Okay, so if you don't hire an engineer or some other professional to do your calculations, your sloping for you, then you have to abide by the soil classification diagrams if you choose to classify the soil on yourself, by yourself, and if it's layered soil, then you are limited to those trenching options that are listed in B1.4.
Yes, Your Honor, if the employer chooses to individually classify.
Right.
However, if the employer takes a conservative approach and classifies as the weakest layer, the employer can bench if that's permitted in the weakest layer. However, if you had a C over A soil or a C over B, benching's not permitted in type C soil, so it wouldn't be permitted in that system either. Essentially, Appendix B was meant to be a discrete universe of fairly conservative options for employers who didn't want to hire a professional or use tabulated data or dig a trench much wider than potentially it needed to. I'd like to speak briefly to KS Energy's vagueness and notice arguments. Essentially, all of their arguments boil down to the argument that they were denied due process. However, due process merely requires fair and reasonable warning of what the standard requires. At no point has OSHA changed its interpretation of the standard or put out any interpretation suggesting that employers can piece together multiple diagrams in Appendix B. Rather, OSHA's position is that the language of the standard is plain. OSHA's interpretation here is not a new pronouncement.
Well, I don't think it was too plain, as long as we've been discussing it here.
I agree that the organization of the standard is a bit confusing, but there's nowhere in the standard that provides that employers can piece together multiple diagrams. Once we get past the organization of which option are you choosing, the employer's looking at Appendix A and Appendix B. And to be clear, in this case, the employer wasn't confused when it designed its trench. Its employees correctly looked at Appendix A and determined that the trench was type B soil. It correctly applied Appendix B and determined that it needed a slope or bench at a 1-to-1 ratio. Unfortunately, KS Energy's employees just didn't slope it back enough. That's what I meant when I said that this is a fairly straightforward case. Everyone who looked at this trench before Harry Butler correctly determined that it was type B soil and correctly determined that the 1-to-1 ratio of the benching or sloping configuration was required. Harry Butler came in response to OSHA's citation, developed a set of diagrams by piecing together diagrams in Appendix B in an attempt to show that even though what KS Energy tried to do wasn't compliant, that it accidentally was compliant if you piece together the multiple diagrams. However, Harry Butler's theory was flawed on at least two grounds. First, because the bottom portion of the trench wasn't comprised of type A soil, it was subject to downgrade. And second, because the Secretary's regulations don't permit the piecing together of multiple diagrams. Accordingly, whether the trench was all type B soil or whether it was type B soil over type A soil, it was non-compliant with OSHA's requirements for trenching in type B under Section 652B.
What was the amount of the fine imposed in this?
The fine here was $12,500. It was reduced. I think the full penalty would have been $25,000, and OSHA reduced it by 50% to account for what they considered to be a relatively lesser gravity likelihood of a cave-in. So the proposed and assessed penalty here was $12,500 for this violation.
Thank you.
There are no further questions. The Secretary respectfully requests this Court to affirm the ALJ's decision. Thank you.
Ms. Jacob, how much time?
Thank you. As far as the vibration goes, I want the Court to make sure that you consider the fact that, number one, whether it's 12 feet or 18, and I looked, and the ALJ did say 12 feet, it's not just the 12 feet to the trench. We're talking about the A soil in the bottom of this trench. And as Harry Butler testified, and remember, Harry Butler, first of all, he was not there because OSHA came. He was at an adjacent excavation the next day and just came over. They asked him to come over and take a look because he's a soil expert. He is the only expert who tested the soil at the bottom of that trench. He's the only one that looked for whether it was vibration, whether it was testing the compressive strength of the soil. And he concluded, based on the tests, based on his visual and manual tests, the tests that they require, that this soil was A soil and that it was not subject to vibration. It's not just traffic is in the area. It has to be heavy traffic, and it has to be actually affecting the base of that trench. If there are no further questions, I would ask that the Court reverse and vacate the citation.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel.